Grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, well, I need to be just right up front with you. When I received this assignment for chapel to preach on St. Simon and St. Jude the Apostles' Day, I thought, okay, this should be pretty easy. All I have to do is gather some information on the lives of Simon and St. Jude, pick out one of the readings, and sort of blend it all together. Should be rather easy. But what I didn't expect was this. There's not a whole lot of information to be found on the life and person of St. Jude, at least for the time that I had to be able to find some of that information. There's a whole lot less on St. Simon. In addition to that, the readings that are assigned for their day aren't always the easiest ones to work through. We have Jeremiah, who proclaims God's word to the people, and they want to kill him. Well, there's a great ministry, isn't there? The epistle brings us themes of testing spirits and worldviews versus God's view, and who's going to listen to whom. Well, that would be a pretty good one, except for in chapel we're limited to around 10 minutes or so because of time restraints and classes after chapel. I guess I'll have to leave with that one for the parish someday. What about the gospel? Well, we find Jesus confronting his disciples with the apparent law words of, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." Then I found myself saying, I'm not sure if I can do this one either in the time allotted. With the who do, where do, what do, to whom do, how do, and when do that one of our professors teaches us to do, that I actually couldn't do justice in the time frame given as well. So that left me with the psalm for the day, Psalm 119, which we prayed together a little bit earlier, and I faced the same sort of situation. 8 short, tiny little verses from the longest psalm in the Bible, and to top it off, it really touches at the heart of the believer, and it causes the Christian to ask some serious questions of himself and of his life. For instance, give me understanding, O Lord, but how will I know when I know enough? May those who honor you rejoice when they see me. But Lord, you and I both know what I'm like, and believe me, there's a whole lot about my sinful life that would cause a lot of people not to rejoice. I know your laws are righteous, O Lord, and boy, is it nice that I'm able to keep them. Oh, how arrogant of me to even think that. By the way, those afflictions that I'm going through, are they really for my own good? Why are you afflicting me, O Lord? What have I done wrong against you? And may those who fear you and understand your statutes turn to me. You've got to be kidding, Lord. They probably understand those things a whole lot better than I do. I don't know all the answers, and by the way, you know, sometimes it's rather difficult for me to continually meditate on your word and rehearse them day and night. Especially when it seems like the rest of the world is getting away with everything. Maybe those are some questions that you've asked of God. I know I have, and believe me, you, the people whom God calls you to serve, will definitely ask those questions and a whole lot more of you. This psalm seems to raise more questions than answers, and we can truly mix up the law and the gospel if we don't go to where the answer is found. The answer is squarely in the middle of this section. May your unfailing love be my comfort. Let your compassion come to me that I may live. The answer for the Christian's life is found right there in the center, where God's chesed in Hebrew, or steadfast unfailing love in English, is found. His compassion is there in the center as well, a compassion that is truly deep-seated. It's well-rooted, a compassion for you, because God is the creator and we are his creation. He loves us. And he sought to redeem us. And God does that by bringing us to the center. Not so much of this part of the psalm, but to the center where the law points to the gospel, where sin intersects with grace. Here, at the center, is the cross, where we see God's steadfast love and his compassion in action. As we remember, he loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. There at the center is where we remember Jesus' innocent suffering and death and his holy precious blood as it flowed down the wood of the cross, mixing in with the earth where we are on our knees before the Lord in our very earthy sins, but that blood covers them as well. There at the center is where we see God's love in action as we confess our sins to the Lord. And that's where and only then when we can begin to understand that God indeed loves us and that he has sought us out through Jesus so that our sins are truly forgiven and that we do have hope in the future. God promises us life eternal with him someday. There's a difference between knowing something and understanding something. Knowing something refers to gathering all the data and maybe having an IQ and passing some of those exams that we have at seminary or elsewhere. That's knowing something. But understanding is something completely different. For instance, I don't know a whole lot of stuff about electricity. I don't know how they can make electricity. I don't know how they can ship electricity from one location to another, how they sell it, how they store it. I can't even figure out how it gets from the generator to my house. But I can understand something. I do understand that when I flip on the switch, the electricity's there and the light goes on. I can understand it even though I don't know it. And that's what's at the center of this psalm. We can't even begin to know why God would do such a wonderful thing for us, but we certainly can begin and grow in our understanding as we continue in God's word. In meditation and in prayer, one of the dangers that happens here at the seminary is we can get so caught up in the academics that we forget to have a devotional life and a prayer life as well. Believe me, that can happen in the parish when we get caught up with meetings and this and that and the other thing. But we are to be with the Lord in his word. And God continually comes to us as well. And we can begin to understand even better as we live each day in those beautiful baptismal waters where we do have a new life every day in his kingdom which has no end. And a reminder comes again and again when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when he brings that future life in his body and blood to us today. This is a part of God's unfathomable chesed, his love for us that brings us comfort and joy. And for those of you who are going to be church workers or those of you who are going to be pastors or who are ordained already, this is the comfort and privilege and love that we have to share with God's people in the parish. In the parish is where you will be met with challenges and joys. There in the parish is where you will be mixing it up with the very earthy sins of God's people, and yet they are God's people, and you will be there to bring them to the center where God's forgiveness and love are found in Jesus Christ. You will be there among those who suffer affliction, whether it's financially or health-wise, or they've just suffered the death of a loved one, and they're going to ask you that question, why, Pastor? How come this had to happen to me? And you know what? You don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes it's just fine to sit there and listen to them, but you're not alone. And you can bring them to the center where God's unfailing love and compassion for them is found in the crucified and risen Savior. You know something? Maybe it's rather good that I couldn't find a lot of things on St. Simon and St. Jude, because it's really not about them and their life, is it? And it's not about us either. But it's about their ministry, their teaching of God's unfailing love and his deeply rooted compassion and mercy for God's people centered in Christ Jesus so that they may live in hope. That is our hope, and that is also the hope and the comfort that we will be able to share with God's people as well. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.